be seated. I'm going to introduce Brother Walters to you, and I'm just going to cut him loose on you, amen. Brother Walters, you have this if you want. Just push this button on and off as you wish. My honor in life is to spend time with great men of God. I mean that. One of those men I count as a dear friend is Brother Rick Walters. How many years have you been up in Maine now? 12, 13, 14 years? Good night. Up with the maniacs. Amen. yeah. You talk about a tough area. I've been to his church. He's in a situation like us. He's trying to build. They're in a building falling down and cramming it in. He's got Sunday school classes and boiler rooms and in the summertime under trees and on buses and everything else. They're just cramming them in left and right. And he is getting her done. And he's one of the lone wolves up there that still believes in soul winning and fighting battles up there with the other preachers and churches over it. And what a mess. And this is a good man. I said this morning, I've known Brother Walters over 20 years. He was going to college. He was working security. He was one of Brother Hiles' security guards. He was in the military, so he had the right to carry a weapon a little sooner than most did. At least he didn't have any bullets in his. but Brother Walters and I would get to church like I have been through my whole ministry a little earlier in the morning than most, and I'd make coffee, and his nose would finally wake up, and he'd walk up four flights of stairs to go find the coffee, amen? And he'd come in, and often we'd sit and talk and chat and pray and got to know one another, and went to work in Pennsylvania for a little while. I think you took a church in Pennsylvania, pastored it for a little bit, didn't you? And then the Lord took him to Maine. He's ready to come back to West Virginia so he can hunt and work in the real ministry. But this is a good man. Brother Rick, how many kids do you have? Five? Six? I lost count a long time ago. Six children. Here's a good family man. And by the way, he's like you. He has children that are children. And sometimes ornery. They take after their father. But, you know, can I tell you something? That doesn't change what a man of God's supposed to be.
Right.
And as your children get older, that doesn't, and when your children become adults or nearly adults, it's not the mom and dad's fault if they make bad decisions. You've heard me preach that. I live that. I believe that. And it's scriptural. That doesn't change the credibility of the man of God. And you've got to understand that. Here's a man. I think of a verse in Proverbs says, who can find a faithful man? Well, I found him. He's right there. He's my friend. There's days that my phone will ring at 3 a.m. He'll say, I love you. Been up all night praying. He said, I was just thinking about you. I want you to know I love you. Can I tell you something? When you wake up to your phone blinking at 3 a.m, you're worried somebody's dying or somebody's been in an accident or whatever, and you look over and it says, I love you. I've been praying for you. That's a real friend.
Amen.
And I love this man. He's a real man of God. I want you to hear him. He's my dear friend. I mean that. And when you preach like we do, you don't have a whole lot of them. Yeah, not a lot of them make it this long. We've watched a lot of people change, but thank God he hadn't changed.
Amen.
He hadn't changed on the book. He hadn't changed on soul winning and doing it God's way.
Amen.
And I appreciate this man. Brother Rick, you come preach to us, my friend.
Amen.
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 Well, thank you very much. You can be seated. First of all, let me say thank you very much for letting me come. I was here when you had the other building, and then, I don't know, last year sometime, when you moved over here, I got to come, and he showed me around. And this is sort of like our church now, except that we have a little bit more room. Our auditorium was facing this way, rectangle, the pulpit down there, and our pews were falling apart. So we found a church in Connecticut. They had pews. We went down and got them, brought them back, and we started putting them in the way they were supposed to go. And they lied to us about the length, and so we had to rearrange it. So it looks just like this. And I got used to preaching like a bobblehead, and so this is good. It's good to see everybody. Good to see people I know. Good to see the Lopez's. I remember when I was on security, and Joey was a janitor, and she was a secretary. And my job was to guard Brother Hiles. But I like to throw water balloons off the roof of the building.
Yes, sir,
do you remember that? And we would, me and the other guards would call the janitor outside the door. We'd have one guy call him and say, "You need to go outside the door," and me or the other guy would be on the roof with a water balloon and drop it on his head. And
you know why we get along.
One day we ran out of water balloons, and the secretaries pitched in to help, and Mrs. O'Brien, bless her heart, she gave me this balloon thinking it would be a good water balloon. And I went over to the janitor's sink, started filling it up, and that thing got to be about that big around. And we had to put it in a mop bucket and carry it to the roof and sit it on the ledge and called, I think it was Al Wood.
Oh, Al
Woodall. Yeah, Woodall. We called him out, and I pushed it off, and I watched it just going all the way down. And that thing, thank God it didn't land on his head. It hit the ground right beside him, and it was just a geyser. Went up about 10 feet and came down and just soaked him, and it was wonderful. I loved working at the church. It made $4.20 worth it, amen? But I just thank God for this church. And you keep doing. I'm excited about your building.
Man.
And the property. We've been trying to build a building for about 6 years now, and you pray that that works, but yours is going faster than ours. That's good, but I'm excited about it. All right, get your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to start reading in verse 12. You can stand, and we'll read the Word of God together, and I'll just read the verses for you, because I like the sound of my voice better than yours. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 5, and verse 12. The Bible says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of the faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all you do for us. Thank you for this good church and these people. And Lord, I pray that tonight you would help me as I preach. Help us all as we listen. And Lord, do a work in our hearts and teach us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You have to excuse me. I had eye surgery about a month ago. And my eyes just seem to water all the time now. It's because I get around him, I just get to weeping and crying about what a horrible friend I have. Anyway, you have to bear with me. But the book of Hebrews here is, the book of Hebrews is an amazing book.
Yes.
And I mean, here in chapter 5 alone, for instance, we read about Jesus Christ being our high priest. And boy, oh boy, what an amazing topic that is. And
yes.
He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron, because God saw fit to change the priesthood from Aaron to Judah and because of sin. But Paul goes on to say that, getting loud. Paul goes on to say a lot of things here in verse 11. He says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." Paul said, there's a lot I could say, but you couldn't take it. There's a lot of things that a preacher sometimes wants to preach, but he knows the people couldn't take it. And he has to try to gentle it down and make it a little bit more tasteful and put some sugar with it. But there's sometimes you just can't do it.
Yep.
And he goes on to tell them in these verses. He says in verse 12, For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. He said, look, there's a time when you ought to start teaching the things that you've been taught. And you people are there.
Yes. Yes.
But you're not doing it. He's scolding them a little bit and warning them a little bit, but he's saying, look, you ought to be teaching the things that you've been taught by now, but instead, I'm having to go back and reteach you the very same things over and over and over again. And he says, because of that, you have need of milk and not meat. He goes on in verse 13 and 14, explains the difference between milk and meat. He says in verse 13, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. So basically, these Christians who have been taught and ought to be able to teach now, he says, you're so weak, you're just a baby. He said, I have to feed you milk, and you don't expect babies to care for themselves. He says, I have to feed you milk because you can't stand the meat. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them. They're of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And he goes on to tell them, look down in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. He said, look, you ought to be teaching these principles, and now I've got to lay the foundation again. He said, I would love to get beyond these first principles. I would love to get beyond the foundational truth and get to something that is a little bit more heavy, something that would help you to grow. He says, let us go on unto perfection or maturity. Let's grow. He said, but I got to go back and keep laying again this foundation of repentance and of dead works and of faith toward God. These are the foundational principles he's talking about. And I looked, and as far as I can tell, now there's other words that God uses that are synonyms to the word principles, but in the Bible, these are the only places, these two verses here, are the only places where you find the word principles found.
That's right.
And I want to talk to you tonight about sticking to your principles.
Amen.
You know, in college, Brother Hiles taught us to be loyal to principles and not institutions.
Yes, sir.
And principles are important to us.
Yes, sir.
And these principles here that Paul's talking about, a principle is basically, a principle is a law or a tenet. It's a foundation. It's a starting point. It's something upon which you can build, obviously. Paul's telling them here, look, I want to build upon this foundation that I've laid, but I have to keep going back and laying it down again and laying it down again and
yes.
laying it down again. I would rather just start building on it. You know, at our church, we have laid the foundation for our building, and we put the floor on the building, and then the tarp we had over it ripped and it got wet, and we had to take the floor off and put the floor back down. You know, that is tiresome. That is just a weariness of the flesh. And I can imagine Paul here. He's not dealing with a material building. He's dealing with lives.
Yes.
He said, look, I would rather get to building your life instead of keep reteaching you the very same things over and over again. And according to these verses here, look down at verse 1 again. The principle is the foundation. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation. The principles of God's word are the foundation upon which we're supposed to build.
Yes.
This is what we're supposed to build upon. This is what we're supposed to grow by. And he says, I am tired of it. And down up in verse 12, he talks about the first principles. He says, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles. So these are the very first ones. These are the foundational principles. You say, well, what are these principles that are the first principles? What are these foundational principles? Well, he lists some of them for us down here in chapter 6 in verse 1 and 2. He says, not laying again the foundation of what? Repentance from dead works.
That's right.
You understand, salvation by grace through faith. That is a foundational principle.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Christianity has got to have that foundation.
Yes, sir.
He goes on and says, laying repentance from dead works, faith toward God. Well, that's a foundational principle.
Yes, sir.
He goes on and says the doctrine of baptisms, both of the Spirit and of water. Then he goes on and talks about the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And these are the foundational principles or the fundamental principles that he wants them to get a hold of so that they would just put them into their life and get it settled. You know, a lot of Christians struggle in their Christian life because they never get those things settled.
That's right.
I have people in my church that have, I'm constantly, week after week after week, going back and trying to give them eternal security because they do not get the fundamental principles of salvation by grace through faith. They don't get the foundational principle of eternal security. And when your foundation isn't right, you can't grow.
You're right.
When your foundation's not right, you can't build up. You've got to have the foundation level. You got to have the foundation steady. You have the foundation just exactly the way it's supposed to be. Otherwise, if you try to build on it, it's just going to fall apart. And there's a lot of Christians who are trying to build on a foundation that is unstable.
Right.
And God's word tells us here that these people, these Hebrews, they had been given the principles. They were supposed to be teaching these principles by now, but they're not. And they've forsaken them. But these principles that we just mentioned, like the repentance from dead works and faith toward God, all these things, these are principles that are essential to a life of Christian maturity.
That's right.
If we're going to succeed in the Christian life, if we're going to grow in the Christian life, we've got to get the principles right. You've got to stick with the principles.
Right.
You can't be changing them all the time.
Yes, sir.
And until we get these things settled in our hearts, we're going to be consistently have to go back and redo it.
Yes, sir.
You have to go back and relay the foundation again. Amen. If you don't have the foundation right of salvation by grace through faith, you're going to have to go back and rehash eternal security and rehash, are you saved? Rehash, well, did you get baptized? You got to redo it over and over and over again because when the foundation's not right, nothing else goes right. And these principles, when they're in place and we have them settled, you can grow. You can succeed, and you can be what God wants you to be.
Yes.
You understand, our goal in this life ought to be what God wants us to be.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I am so tired of hearing young people say, well, I want to be this.
Yes,
or
sir.
Ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? I really don't care what they want to be when they grow up.
Yes,
what does God want them to be?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mom and Dad, what does God want you to be? That's a good question. But everything has principles. You can call them fundamentals.
Yes.
You can call them the fundamental truth. Everything has principles. Everything has fundamentals.
Yes,
there's
sir.
Principles of leadership.
Yes, sir.
In the military, you don't get to lead until you learn how to follow.
That's right.
And you got principles of leadership. Here we find the principles of Christianity. You know, there's principles to starting a business. There's principles to shooting.
Amen.
Yeah, I knew I'd get some amens. Principles of shooting. What are they? Sight picture, trigger control, breath control.
Yes.
You know, if you got those things, if you get those three things right, trigger control, sight picture, breath control, you don't have to worry about whether the bullet's going to hit the target.
That's right.
But if you don't have those three things right, you don't know where that bullet's going to end up. You can have two out of three right, but you're still not going to be sure whether it's going to hit where you want it to go. But when the principles are right and the fundamentals are right, everything else takes care of itself. And Paul is here saying, look, I want you to get these principles right because I am tired of having to go back and reteach them and reteach them and reteach them.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
When I was on security, we had a fellow named Kevin Spink. You remember Kevin?
Yes, sir.
Kevin Spink, he was a good guy. He's a missionary now, as far as I know. But he went to all the training. He went to all the qualifying. He even qualified with a handgun, but he never got to carry one.
Uh-huh.
Not even a Barney Fife way. He didn't get to carry one because he was not, even though he could qualify with it, he had no common sense about it.
Mm-mm.
And so he wasn't allowed because his principles weren't right. And, you know, we have got to get these principles right. So Paul is writing to these people, and he says this in verse 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need to one teacher again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." Several things I want you to notice. Number one, these people had been given the principles.
Yes, sir.
They'd been given to them. Paul said, "You have need to one teach you again." This was not the first time they'd heard them. They had heard them before.
Yes, sir.
They had been given these principles. They had learned these principles. They had been taught these principles. And where did these principles come from? When you look in verse 12, it says these were the first principles of the oracles of God.
Yes,
where did these principles come from? They came right out of the Word of God.
Amen.
You understand, when we get the Word of God involved, we have a sure foundation.
Amen.
But only if God's people will stand on it.
Yes.
When we get the principles out of the Word of God, we have a principle that is worthy of being stood upon, and we can take it and hang on to it. But these principles came right out of the Word of God.
Yes.
And Paul said, we have need of someone to teach it to you again. And these people, these Hebrew Christians, they've been given these principles. They were taught to them right out of the Word of God, and they were taught to them by men of God.
Yes.
But they didn't stick with them. You understand, there are people that go to churches just like this one, and maybe even right here in this church. I know at my church, it's the very same thing. There are people that come to church, and I will teach them and teach them and teach them the principles out of the Word of God and lay a foundation, but yet they keep coming back to me, and I have to go back and lay it down again and go over salvation again and give them assurance again and talk about eternal security again,
yes,
over and over and over again. By the time we're all done, they ought to be teaching these things now, but it's been years and they're still going through the struggle because they are not settled with these principles.
Yes.
You understand, the principles were given to these people. And if you and I want to live a successful Christian life, we are going to have to get these things down deep in our hearts, the principles of Christianity, out of the Word of God, and we're going to have to say, you know what, this is my foundation and it doesn't change.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You know, we put that foundation in the ground several years ago, and it doesn't go anywhere.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't get up and move. It doesn't get up and walk away. It just stays the same. And you know what? Because it stays the same, because it's settled, we can build on it.
Yes, sir.
And you pray, because we have a guy, we're timber framing, and he's cutting out timbers, and hopefully sometime before I'm dead, we'll have a frame. But I want you to just realize that the principles of the Word of God had been given to these people. But secondly, they forsook them.
Yes, sir.
They had been given these principles, but then they forsook these principles.
Mm-hmm.
They had been given the principles, they forsook the principles, they got away from what they were taught. That's why he said, we must teach you again. Why? Because it didn't stick. I wonder how many people have come through the church here at Grace Baptist Church, and they have been taught the principles, they've been given the principles, but the principles didn't stick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about principles like you heard this morning about how to have a good marriage. Principles about how to rear children. Principles about Christianity and how to be a soul winner. How to have good finances. You understand, the principles you are taught in this place out of the Word of God,
yes,
by the man of God, have been given to you so you could take them and get them settled in your heart so you could grow and go on unto maturity instead of continuously laying that foundation again and again and again.
Yes, sir.
So the principles were given to these people, but number two, they forsook them. That right now, according to these verses, right now, they're not living by these principles. They've not been living by these principles. They have forsaken these principles. You understand there's a lot of reasons why people forsake the principles of the Word of God. First reason is they didn't believe it to start with.
That's right.
I wonder how many people come to church and they hear the principle, and they hear it, and they hear it, and they hear it, but they walk out, it didn't stick because they didn't believe it.
Right.
Take your Bible, look over at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. Matthew 13, verse 58. The Bible says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their what? Unbelief. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And you find the same thing in Mark chapter 6, verse 6.
Yes.
These people did not have the foundation right. What was one of those foundational principles there in chapter 6? Faith toward God.
Yes, sir.
They did not have faith that Jesus Christ was God. They didn't have that. That foundational principle was missing. And because of it, he could not do many mighty works there. You understand, when we don't have the principles of the Word of God right, it's going to be hard for God to do a whole lot of anything in our life.
Yes, sir.
When we don't have faith toward God, it's going to be hard for God to do anything in our life. You understand, over and over again throughout the Bible, through the New Testament, Jesus would say, do you believe I can do this? According to your faith, so be it unto you. The Bible says this, believe and doubt not.
Yes, that's right.
Believe and doubt not. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. The Bible says in Mark 11:24. You understand there's nowhere in the Bible where God says it's okay to doubt him?
That's right.
Think about that one for a while. I've heard over and over again, faith is believing, doubting. Not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, faith is without doubt. Mm-hmm. You can take, why is that? Because when you get the principle of the Word of God, that God cannot lie. You understand, God cannot lie. When God says something, God's going to do it.
Yes.
When God says it, he means it. And he means it just the way he says it. And he's not going to change his mind about it. So if God says, if you ask me, you shall receive. Guess what? I don't have to doubt that. Amen. If I get that foundation down right there of faith toward God, then I can go to God with a prayer request, knowing that not only will he hear me, but he will answer me.
Amen. That's right.
You can ask God for anything. Anything that is right to have, you can ask God for it. And you can get, and by the way, you don't have to wait 6 years for God to answer. You understand? You can get God to, I have been praying before. We had a need, and my wife told me that this when the kids were smaller and they were, the clothes were just wore out. I got five boys and one girl, and you can't pass down boys' clothes to a girl, usually, if you're Christian. And she said, we need some clothes for these boys and for these. And I said, well, how much money do you need? And she said, oh, about $100. I said, well, I'll go pray about that because I ain't got $100. And I went to my office down at the church and I started praying. And I was praying and there's a door coming into the church right beside. I heard this car drive in the driveway and go up to the house and I just kept praying. And the next thing I know, that car came back down and stopped outside the door. And I'm praying for this $100. Somebody starts knocking on the door and I'm praying and they keep knocking. And I'm like, Lord, would you please knock off the racket? I'm trying to talk to you and get something from you. I need something from you. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll go into the door. I walk over and open the door, and there's a guy from another church said, my wife and I were thinking about you, just wanted to give you this, handed me a $100 bill.
Yes.
I hadn't even said amen yet. I walked back in my office, got on my face, said, thank you, Lord, amen. And a prayer answered. You say, well, how does that happen? Because I just believe God's word.
Yes.
When you get the principle right, everything else goes so much easier. We needed a van. Our family's growing. And we had just a four-door car. And as me and my wife, and we got three car seats in the back seat and one in the front seat. And I was like, Lord, she's pregnant again. And you gave us this baby. And we need a minivan. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to tell you what I want. I want a 1995 Ford Windstar. I'd like it to be in good shape. I'd like it to be, I listed off a whole lot of details about it. I said, thank you and amen. I got in my car, went to the jail to preach that morning, got out about noon, and on my way home, my wife called, and she said, you're never going to believe what somebody just gave us. I said, they gave us a 1995 Ford Windstar. She said, did they tell you? And I said, no, I prayed for it this morning. And that morning. And you say, well, how does that happen? Because when you just believe God,
amen.
God
amen.
Can do things.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
If we would ever get the principles down and understand what God wants us to do and understand these principles don't change. But there's a lot of reasons why people don't stick with the principles. These people are given the principles. They've forsaken them. Why? Well, first of all, some people just don't believe it to start with. Do you believe that God will actually answer your prayer?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that God can give you a good marriage?
Yes.
Do you believe that God can help you out of your financial mess?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we have a God that can do these things if we'll just stick with the principle. Why else don't people stick with the principles? One, they don't believe it to start with. Number two, because of friendships.
Yes, sir.
Wrong friends will keep you from following the principles of God.
Yes, sir.
But I'm sure you probably heard a sermon about this, but the Bible says, Amnon had a friend named Jonadab who was a very subtle man. Amnon was one of David's sons, and Amnon had a sister named Tamar, and Amnon thought it hard to do anything to his sister Tamar because it was his sister. Why? Because he had a principle in place. What was the principle? That's my sister. I shouldn't do wrong things to her. I need to protect her. She's my sister. He had a principle from God's word about how to treat his sister.
Yes.
But he also had a friend named Jonadab. Jonadab, by the way, was his cousin. And that just shows you, just because you're related to him doesn't mean you ought to be hanging around with him all the time.
Right.
But Jonadab was his cousin, and Jonadab said, "Why are you so sad? What's wrong?" And he said, "Well, I have a sister, Tamar." And Jonadab, a very subtle man, said, "Let me tell you how you get what you want." And all of a sudden, Amnon went against the principle of family and went against the principle of the Word of God. Why? Because he's more loyal to his friend than he was to God's Word. He was more loyal to his friend than he was to his sister. You see, when you get your friends involved, sometimes we'll go against the principles of God's word. Why is it so many Christians struggle? Well, sometimes it's because they just don't believe it to start with. And number two, because they get wrong friendships that lead them away from the word of God and away from the principles of God.
Yes.
Number three, their emotions.
There you go.
Their emotions. I'm sure you probably know the story about Samson, and he wanted this Philistine woman to be his wife, and he told his daddy, "Go get her for me," and they went down and had this big party, and he told the Philistine, he said, "I'm going to give you a riddle, and if you can tell me the answer in 7 days, I'll give you all these things, and if not, you got to give it to me," and he gave him the riddle. And they went to his wife, and they said, "You either tell us the answer to that riddle, or we're going to burn down your daddy's house, or we're going to kill you all." And she was scared. All of a sudden, fear filled her heart and emotions took over. She had a principle to be loyal to her husband. But her emotions took over and she went against the principle. Do you think if she had gone to her husband, Samson? I mean, this guy's a pretty strong dude, right? Can you imagine if she'd have gone to Samson and said, "Let me tell you what the Philistines told me"? Do you think that he would have let that happen to her? No, but she allowed her emotions to take over, and her emotions got her to go against the principle, and she went ahead and tricked her husband, and, "Oh, please tell me, he told her, and she went and told them, and they got what they wanted, and then Samson went and got all the clothing and everything from Philistines that he killed, and brought it back, and that made them mad. So what did they do anyway? They went and burned down her daddy's house, in spite of the fact she had done what they said. Do you think that her doing that was the right thing? No, she went against the principle. And why do God's people struggle so much to grow? Well, because we've been given the principles, but we forsake them. We forsake them, number one, because we just didn't believe it to start with.
Right.
Number two, because we got the wrong kind of friends. Number three, we let our emotions get in charge of us. And we've got to be careful that once we know the principle, once we've heard it, and once we've seen it, don't forsake the principle of God's word.
Yes, sir.
Do not forsake the principles of God's word. These principles are here for us to stand upon. They're here for us so we can grow. They're here for us so we can succeed. And these Hebrews here, they should have been teaching these things by now, but instead, Paul's going back and teaching them again and again and again. The foundation has already been laid. They should have been building by now, but they're not building. They're going back and laying the foundation again. Why? Were they bad people? No. Were they wicked, vile, sinful people? No. What was their problem? They've forsaken God's principles.
Yes, sir.
You understand, when we forsake God's principles, we will struggle.
That's right.
You forsake God's principles of finance, you will struggle. You forsake God's principles for marriage, you will struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You forsake God's principles for prayer, you will struggle.
Yes.
Why? Because we have got to stick with these principles. These people didn't do it, now they're struggling. You know, sticking to our principles helps us to do what the Bible says. Look back there at chapter 6, verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." You understand, when we stick with the principles of God's word, it allows us to go on unto perfection, allows us to go on unto maturity. But when we forsake those principles, what does it do? It causes us to get weak.
That's right.
What were these people in Paul's eyes? Babes. They should have been strong Christians by now. They should have been Sunday school teachers. They should have been deacons. But what are they? babes.
That's right.
He said, you can't even handle what I've got to teach you because you're so carnal and you're not even there yet. These Hebrew Christians right here had, they'd been more loyal to their old religious practices than they were to the principles that Paul was teaching them out of the Word of God. They would rather go back to their old rituals than to stick with the Word of God. He got Amnon, who was more loyal to a friend than he was to the principles of God and how to treat a family member and how to treat a sister. He got Samson's wife, who was more loyal to her emotions than she was to her own husband. You understand, we've got to remain loyal to principles.
Yes, sir.
These principles of the Word of God, we ought to stick with them, and we ought to, why? Because they're established.
Yes, sir.
You understand, these principles we can stand on, number one, because they don't change.
That's right.
This book does not change. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. This book is not going to change.
Yes, sir.
This book is not, the principles of this book is not going to change. His word doesn't change. His principles are established for all of eternity. They're never going to change. That means you've got a sure foundation. You understand, our beliefs change.
Yes, sir.
I remember growing up, I went to public school, and I remember growing up, and they told me by the time I got to be this age, there would be no more trees left. How many remember that? We all were taught it. We're cutting down trees and turn them into paper. When you get to be an adult, there will not be any trees left anywhere. I live in Maine, and can I just tell you, there's plenty of them.
Yes, sir.
My beliefs are not the same as what they were when I was a little kid. Our beliefs change. You say, well, I just don't know if I can believe that. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. God said it. We all probably heard the saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's a bunch of baloney. God said it, that settles it.
Yes.
Doesn't matter if you believe it or not.
Yes,
God said it, and that's all there is to it. But our beliefs change. Hey, our friends change.
Yes, they do.
I don't have some of the friends I started out with when I graduated college.
Yes, sir.
We're not friends much anymore because they've changed.
Yes, sir.
We need to be careful because we will be loyal to our beliefs. This is what we have people that won't come back to church because they've been taught Catholicism from the time they're little, and they're just not going to change. Look, if your beliefs go against the Word of God, you need to stick with the Word of God.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Our friends change. Our emotions change. Well, today I feel like I'm saved, but tomorrow I don't feel like I'm saved. And today I feel like I'm saved, but tomorrow I don't. Guess what? Your emotions change all the time. We are more loyal to the things that change than we are to the unchangeable Word of God.
Yes.
These principles, we can stand on them because they do not change. Number two, these principles give us a great platform on which to stand. They're settled.
Yes, sir.
They are unmovable. They are steady. They are balanced. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Why is that? Because his principles are always changing.
Yes, sir.
My grandparents, both of my grandpas were alcoholics. My grandpa Walter, he would go to work and he'd come home and he'd stop at the bar just two blocks from the house. And he would go in and get drunk. And before he got home, he would give away the car. He would trade his car for a bicycle. He would trade his car for a tow-behind camper that he didn't have anything to tow with now. And he did all these things. Why? Because he'd get drunk and his principles would change. You understand, if we don't stick with the principles of God's Word, we're always going to be changing our principles because our emotions change, our beliefs, everything changes except God's Word. These people were given the principles, but they forsook them. And now, you and I, there are so many Christians who struggle in the Christian life. You understand, the Christian life is, it's not near as difficult as everybody makes it sound.
Right.
All you got to do is stick with the book.
Amen.
Stick with the Bible. Do what the Bible says. So these principles, they don't change. They give us a great platform on which to stand. And number three, we're either going to stick with our principles or we're going to end up wrestling against them.
That's right.
You're either going to stick with these principles, or you're going to end up wrestling against them. We may decide to go against the principles of God's Word. You may decide, I'm just not going to do that. Well, that's fine, and you can decide to not do that, but I cannot find anybody who ever went against God's principle and succeeded.
That's right.
When you go against God's principles, you never win.
Amen.
That's right.
You never win. You go against God's principles for a good marriage, and you'll never have a good marriage.
That's right.
You go against God's principles for finances, you'll never have be successful in your finances.
Mm-hmm.
You go against God's principles for any area of life, and you're never going to succeed in that area of life. Instead, what do? We end up paying for going against them.
That's right.
And you look at the people who have gone against the principles, even just in the Bible, look at the ones who went against God's principles, like Samson. Did he win? Laying his head in the lap of Delilah, playing around with the opposite gender. Was he successful? Oh, no. How about David, King David and Bathsheba? Was he successful? Oh, no. And on and on and on again. How about Abraham? Bible talks about one of these first principles being faith toward God. And God had promised Abraham a son. But Abraham had gone 10 years and not gotten his son. So what did they do? They went to Hagar and tried it their way. And they got a son. But was God in that? No. And because of it, we've got all this mess in the Middle East.
That's right.
Because of Abraham and Hagar. You understand? When we go against God's principles, we never will succeed.
That's right.
So these principles, first of all, they don't change. Second of all, they're a great platform on which to stand and to build. Number three, if you go against them, you either stick with them or you're going to end up wrestling against them. But number four, these principles, they will make your decisions for you.
Yes, sir.
You know, one of the biggest problems that Christians have, we make too many of our own decisions.
That's right.
If somebody gets saved and we ask them, do you want to get baptized? Why do they get to choose? God already said, once you get saved, get baptized.
Yes, sir.
We let people make too many choices. We ourselves make too many choices. These principles will help us to make the right decisions.
Yes.
Because they already made them for us. For instance, David would not kill King Saul, even though Saul was trying to kill David. Why? Because God said, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophet no harm. David had a principle that guided his life, and he said, I'm just going to stick with the principle.
Yes.
And he stuck with the principle, and he did not have to make a decision. He didn't have to make a decision, am I going to kill Saul or am I not going to kill Saul? It was already made for him.
Amen.
He stuck with the principle, and it did all the work for him. What else? How about Esther? Esther had grown up in the house of Mordecai, and now she's the queen of the kingdom, and Haman has gone and sent out letters to have all the Jews killed, and Mordecai comes and says, you need to go in to the king. And she says, I can't go into the king. I've not been called. And he says, look, if you're not going to do it, somebody else is going to do it. It could just be that God put you here for such a time as this. And she said, well, you go and fast and pray for me, and I'll fast and pray, get my maidens to fast and pray, and I'll go in, and if I perish, I perish. What was her decision-making process? I've always just obeyed Mordecai. I'm just going to stick with it. How about we just stick with the principle? When you let the principle make the decision for you, it takes all the work out of Christianity.
That's right.
How about this one, Jephthah?
Yes.
Jephthah went off to battle, and he told God, he said, Lord, if you'll give me the victory, when I get home, the very first thing I see, I'll give to you, I'll sacrifice to you. He went off to war, came back, won the battle, comes back home. Very first thing comes out the house to see him was his one and only daughter. Smote him in the heart. I've only got one little girl, and I think about Jephthah, and I'm like, I don't know how he could do that. You want to know how he did it? Because God said, if you make a vow, you better keep it. And Jephthah said, I've opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot take it back. You say, do you think Jephthah really killed his daughter? The Bible says he kept his word. I have made a vow unto the Lord. I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot take it back. You understand, his principle made the decision for him.
Yes, sir.
What happens so many times is we don't let God's principles make the decisions for us. We don't let them become a permanent part of our life. We're like these Hebrews. We've heard it and we've been taught it, but we forsake it because either we let our friends talk us out of it, or our emotions get involved, or we just didn't believe it to start with.
That's right.
And actually, you know, we're making too many decisions. But, you know, if we would just let God's principles make the decision, it makes Christianity. Well, you know, when the principles are right, like shooting, if the trigger control and breath control and sight picture is right, It makes everything else easy.
Yes, sir.
And when you've got the principles of God right, the Christian life is so easy. Mm-hmm. It is so much easier than what we make it. You understand, our doctrine is set in stone.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to constantly be questioning, well, what is our doctrine? It's already written down. It's set right there. It is the principles of God are laid out before us, and if we would just stick with it, we wouldn't be constantly wishy-washy. Bible says, be careful you're not blown about by every wind of doctrine. If you stick with the principles of God's word, it wouldn't happen. And the truth is, we all have gone against some of God's principles.
Yes, sir.
All of us have. Could be finances. It could be marriage. Could be child rearing. Could be any number of things. Bless us, all of us.
Yes, sir.
Have gone against some of the principles of God's word because we're all sinners.
That's right.
And we're all like to say, it's my life and I can figure it out on my own. Just the last couple months, I've been doing the opposite of what I've been teaching you right now. We have a friend for the last, probably three or four years. He's a good friend. He's been asking me to do something, and for the last three or four years, every time he asked me, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing, but every time he asked me, I just automatically say, no, not going to do that. He say, well, why? Because I had a principle, and I was going to stay, and you know, I never wavered on it, because I had a principle set in stone. And he'd ask me, and it just didn't matter. Every time he asked, just, no, can't do that, because I had a principle set in stone. And but we're friends, and over time that friendship really, you know, the older I get, the more I realize friendships are really important, and they're hard to come by. And this friendship, it meant something to me, and so he asked me, "Would you again this year?" He said, "Would you do this?" And I said, "Sure, yeah, let's do it." And in my mind, I'm thinking, we'll do it this one time, get it over with, it'll never happen again. And I started to rationalize it, and I started to make it so it was okay, and I was all for it. And you know, once I got my friendship involved, my principle went out the window. And once I got my friendship involved, my emotions got involved. And I was like, man, yeah, this will be fun. But the thing is, from the time I told him yes, I didn't have any peace. Mm-hmm. I just had this struggle inside of me, just struggling, and my spirit and my soul was saying, what in the world are you doing? And my heart was saying, he's your friend. It's okay. It'll be all right. But this struggle kept just raging inside of me. And I was wrestling against the principle that I had already set, a principle that was set in stone that I had stood on, and it gave me a sure foundation. And I just kept wearing on me and wearing on me. And finally, last week, I sent him an email. And because that's the only way I could get a hold of him, I sent him an email. I said, you know I told you this, but I'm not going to do it. And I'll tell you why, and I laid out exactly why. I didn't pull any punches. I didn't hold anything back. I said, this is why I'm not going to do it. This is why I have not done it. This is why I will never do it, and you'll never ask me again. And I thought, when I hit send, I thought, well, there went that friend. Mm-hmm. He wrote me back. I thought, oh, great, he wrote me back. This ought to be good. I stuck with my principle. Let me tell you what happened. Number one, I did not lose a friend.
Amen.
He understood because I was standing for the truth. Number two, I didn't go backwards and become weak and a babe like these Hebrew Christians.
Yes, sir.
Because when you do not stick with God's principles, you always become weak, go backwards, and you get less than what you were. So I stood for my principle. I did not lose a friend. I did not go backwards, lose ground, or grow weaker. Number three, I don't have any regrets.
Amen.
I don't have any regrets.
Yes, sir.
I know in my heart, if I had allowed him to, if we had done what we were going to do, even though it wasn't bad and there was nothing sinful about it, I would have regretted it.
Yes, sir.
It would have tore me up inside. And I would never have been able to say no again because he'd have said, well, you did it last time. Every single one of us has gone against some principles that God has given us. We're no different than these Hebrews. They had been given the principles. They had been taught them. And Paul is saying, you ought to be teaching these things by now, but instead I'm going back and relaying these foundation. Why are we covering the same ground again and again and again? Why don't you get these things settled in your heart so we can go on unto perfection, go on unto maturity and grow? Let me ask you tonight, Christian, what principles of God have you forsaken? I mean, why have you forsaken it? Maybe it's your emotions. Maybe it's your friendship. Maybe you just didn't believe it to start with. There's a number of reasons why we forsake the principles of God. I was hanging on to that principle for all those years, and then all of a sudden, as I justified it and I rationalized it, and I was going to chuck my principle for a friend, and my emotions got involved and said, yeah, that's a good thing. There are principles to marriage. For instance, get married before you sleep together.
Amen.
There's principles to child rearing, like get married before you have them. There's principles to finances, earn before you buy. There's principles to leadership. Learn to follow before you lead. On and on and on. When our principles are right, and when we use them the way God gave them to us, it makes everything else so much easier.
Yes, sir.
Everything. So here's the question. Which principles have you forsaken in your life?
That's good.
Secondly, will you do whatever you have to do in order to go back to the principle? You say, but you don't understand. That might make somebody mad. Yeah, it might. Mm-hmm. I took a chance on losing a friend to go back to the principle. I wouldn't have had to take that chance if I had just stuck with the principle to start with.
That's right.
Which principles have you forsaken? Number two, will you do whatever it takes to go back to those principles? Number three, if not, who or what is keeping you from obeying God in that principle?
Yes, sir.
And number four, is that person or is that thing really worth disobeying God for?
That's good.
Really? Four things. Number one, which principle have you forsaken? Number two, will you do whatever you have to do to go back to it? Number three, who or what is keeping you from going back to it? And number four, are they really worth disobeying God over?
That's good.
Here's another principle we all ought to get down in our heart. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Mm-hmm. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I don't know most of you, but if you're here tonight and you're not saved, that is a principle you may not believe, but it's the truth.
Yes, sir.
Every one of us will die and go somewhere forever. It's our choice whether we're going to stick with God's principle or do our own thing. But nobody has ever gone against God's principle and won that fight.
That's right.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray that tonight you would do a work in the hearts of all of us. Lord, I know what you've done in my heart over the past month or two because of this whole situation. And Lord, I learned a valuable lesson. And Lord, I don't want to be like these Hebrew Christians that had been given the principles but forsook them. I want to just stick with them. And Lord, I wish, and I know Brother Bush, he would love for his people to just stand and stick with the principles of God's word till the day they died. What a great testimony that would be for any Christian.
Yes.
And boy, when our principles are right, we can go on into maturity, and everything else is so much easier.
Yes.
Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.